Well, good morning again. It's good to be able to share in this particular way again. We're working through the Book of Judges at the moment. I've called the series in the Book of Judges, When a Nation Turns Their Back on God. And last week we began looking at chapter 6 and next week chapter 7 as we look at the story of Gideon. And last week I introduced this passage I entitled our message, The Kind of Person God Uses to Save a Nation Blinded by Sin. And last week we looked at the characteristics of a nation that's been blinded by sin. Before I look at those, let's have a word of prayer as we commit this time to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you do send people to save. Lord, we are so dependent upon you. We recognize that we cannot save ourselves, and we thank you for the way in which you have always sent somebody to save. And ultimately, Lord, thank you for reminding us that Jesus is the ultimate expression of a person who saves, and we give you all the thanks for that. Speak through your word again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not going to read the passage today because there's quite a lot I want to look at today. But just to remind you, last week we looked at the characteristics of a nation blinded by sin. And we saw that a nation is blinded by sin when they repeatedly make the same mistakes, when they repeatedly look for solutions in the wrong place, when they repeatedly surrender the true blessings of God. When they repeatedly reject the revealed will of God, and when they repeatedly defend sinful behavior. And friends, that's the reality of Israel, what Israel was doing. They were making the mistakes, same mistakes all at the same time, and they were looking to false gods for the answers. They were surrendering, having a real relationship with God for nothing. They were rejecting the will of God. God had told them what they needed to do, and they rejected it. And they were defending sinful behavior because when Gideon attacked the temple of Baal, the people wanted to kill Gideon rather than kind of letting Baal defend himself, which eventually they were challenged to do. So today we want to look at the kind of person God uses to save a nation blinded by sin. So, what kind of person does God use to save a nation? So, first of all, God uses people who are unhappy with the status quo. We read in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak at Orpah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Friends, Gideon found himself doing something that was not normal. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, friends, this is just kind of totally ridiculous. But the sad reality is, friends, sometimes we just get so defeated that we just kind of go with it. So many people, friends, are doing things they don't really like, but they're doing things to impress other people. They feel trapped doing something they don't really want to. It's like buying branded name items just to impress others. Sometimes you buy a fancy car just so that you can look good in the eyes of other people. When our children were growing up, when they were younger, and they wanted to buy the brand name clothing, oh, I wanted this Hang Ten and that kind of thing, and we just didn't have the money when they were growing up. So eventually, what we did was we gave them the money allocated for clothing. And let them choose what they wanted and let them keep what they didn't spend. So, if they wanted to buy the fancy thing and have nothing after that, that was their story. So while we were paying, we were buying the fancy things, but when they were paying, suddenly they weren't. But sadly, friends, Christians seem to be the same these days. They're running after one brand after the next. So many Christians don't seem to be satisfied with a relationship with God alone. Friends, God is looking for people who will find their satisfaction in Him alone. Stop chasing after the things of God. Stop chasing after the experiences. Friends, seek God and His face. God can be found. He can be found in His Word. He can be found as you communicate with Him on a daily basis. Friends, God uses people who are unhappy with the status quo. He's looking for people who will find their satisfaction in Him alone. Secondly, God uses people who want real encounters with Him. Verse 13 says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and has put us into the hand of Midian." Like Gideon, friends, have you ever wondered why God doesn't work now in the same way that He worked in the past? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Just imagine. Wouldn't it be great for tithing if we had a couple of Ananias and Sapphira situations in the church to help people keep their promises to God? You see, friends, God wants people who want a real encounter with Him. The Bible is full of people like that who are waiting for God to do something. Come on, God, we're waiting for you. Jeremiah is the prime example. In chapter 4 and verse 21, he says, "How long must I see the battle standard and hear the sound of the trumpet?" Chapter 12 and verse 4, "How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered because those who live in it are wicked?" Chapter 23, verse 26, "How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own mind?" Chapter 31, verse 22, "How long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter?" Daniel 2 longed for a real encounter with God. It says this in Daniel 8, verse 13. "Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to me, 'How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, and the surrender of the sanctuary and of the host that will be trampled underfoot.'" Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk said to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you don't save?" And Zechariah in verse 1, verse 12 says, "Then the angel of the Lord said, 'Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years?'" Friend, God wants to use people who want a real encounter with Him. Will we be those people? Will you be that person, friends, who wants God to move, who's passionately looking for God to do something new? Friends, I've been praying for revival as long as I can remember. Lord, how long will you tarry? Thirdly, God uses people, friends, who are not trusting in their own strength. Listen to verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon said, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." "Lord," answered, "I'll be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Friends, the Bible is full of reminders for us not to trust in our own strength to do God's work. Isaiah 40 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint." James reminds us, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 12, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul writes, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Friends, when will we learn this lesson? Friends, we need to trust in God's own strength. I've kind of been learning that lesson just recently. For a long time I was depending on myself, but about 2 months ago I just kind of hit the wall. I just had nothing left. Friends, we need to look to God to strengthen us. If we're going to do anything for God, we can only do it in his strength. Fourthly, God uses people who have no doubts about who he is. Gideon says, "If I have found favor in your eyes, Lord, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I've come back and bring you my offering and set it before you." The Lord said, "I will wait until you return." And then there's a little bit of a ceremony. And in the end, in verse 22, it says, "Then Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord." Friends, the phrase, "the angel of the Lord," is just another name for Jesus. Friend, Gideon was able to be used by God because he encountered Jesus. Gideon met Jesus and boom, he was a different person. Friends, we need to get to that point again when we have absolutely no doubts about who God is. I'm so grateful for my father in this case. My father, he was a rough man, but friends, he taught me about unwavering faith. My father battled with illness for a long, long time. In his life, for his last 5 and 6 years of his life, he battled with leukemia. But friends, he never rejected God. On the one occasion, In the very last week of his life, he was in the theatre. The leukemia had attacked and ravaged his body to such a degree that his tongue was full of abscesses. And they took him to theatre to cut the abscesses out of his tongue so that he could breathe properly. And he recounts to my mother, he said to my mother, as I was laying there, I said to God, "Where are you, God?" And he felt his arm get shoved across his body. And he looked angrily to the left side to see which nurse or doctor had bumped his arm while he was waiting in the surgery. And there was nobody there. Friends, we need to get to the point where we have no doubt about who God is. Friend, God can use people like that. Fifthly, God uses people who worship. Verse 22, it says, Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord. He said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, don't be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and they called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day it stands in Orpah of the Abrazites. You know, while we're reading this verse in English, it sounds so sophisticated. "Ah, sovereign Lord." No, friends, it's more like, "Ah! Sovereign Lord!" If Gideon were closer, I've heard the closer people say, I'm sure he would have said, "Hey, Chini!" Friends, Gideon realized who God was. The first thing he does is build an altar to worship. Why is this so important? Why does God use people who worship? Friends, God uses people who worship because, friends, worship is the ultimate expression of surrender. The word worship literally means to bend the knee. When we are bending the knee before God, when we are saying, "Lord, I've got nothing more to give. Only what you can give me can I give." Then we begin to worship, friends, and then God can begin to use us. Friend, God uses people who worship. Sixthly, God uses people who are obedient. Verse 22-25 says, "That same night the Lord said to him, 'Take a second bull from your father's herd,'" etc., etc., etc. Verse 27, "So Gideon took 10 shepherds and did as the Lord had told him." Friends, this is the secret, one of the keys to when God can use people, when we become obedient to who he is. Oh, we sing this hymn so wonderfully, but do we truly mean it? We sing, "When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Friend, God uses people who are obedient. I wonder why he's not using us. Are we truly obedient to God? Are we doing the things that he's asked us to do? I sometimes wonder. Number seven, God uses people, friend, who accept there will be opposition. Friend, verse 28 through to verse 31 tells us about the opposition Gideon faced. The people wanted to kill Gideon, and his own father had to defend Gideon. But friends, if we're going to be used by God, we must accept there will be opposition. There is only one enemy of God's people, friend, and that's Satan. And the Bible is a record of the many attempts Satan has tried to destroy the plans of God. In every step, in every book of the Bible, friends, is a story of how Satan tried to defeat the purposes of God. If Jesus faced opposition in every step, friends, why do we think we're going to avoid opposition? The key to succeeding with God does not lie in trying to avoid opposition or difficulty. The key to succeeding with God, friends, is what we will do after we have faced the opposition and difficulty. It's going to come, friend. Just face it as a Christian. You cannot avoid it. Eighthly and finally, God uses people who have a new name. Gideon is given a new name. He's called Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend with him, because he broke Baal's altar. But friends, we too have a new name. And our name is Christian, because we carry that name with humble acceptance, friends. We'll be able to do all things through the name of Christ. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord, not in our ability or our strength. Friends, a nation will change when we live up to the name that we have as Christians. Now, ultimately, friends, who's the ultimate example of someone God uses to save? Of course it's Jesus. Jesus, friends, was unhappy with the status quo when he looked at earth and he saw the disaster that was there. He came to earth to die for us. Jesus, friend, had a real encounter with God. God even spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." Friends, Jesus didn't trust in his own strength. When Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus constantly pointed Satan back to the word of the Lord. Jesus had no doubts about who God was. He called him my Father. I'm coming to do the will of my Father. Jesus worshiped, friends. He was regularly found in the temple precincts. He didn't avoid going to church. He was there every Saturday. Every opportunity he had, he went to worship with other believers, friends. What's wrong with Christians today that are just sitting at home doing nothing? Friends, Jesus was obedient. Hebrews tells us he was obedient even to the point of death. Jesus faced opposition, friends, every step of the way. Even his own disciples opposed him. But friends, Jesus has a name. Jesus has a name that is above every name. Friends, if we gain to be the people who are going to save this nation, we need the name of Jesus. Without that name, we're lost. Let's turn to Christ. Let's trust in him to use us for his glory. We'll be careful to give him all the glory. Let's pray. Jesus, we make ourselves available like Gideon did, Lord. We recognize we're small, we're weak, we're facing opposition. But Lord, in your name, in your strength, in your ability, in your power, Lord, we can change a nation. Make us strong for you, we pray. For your glory, we ask that. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, be the person God can use in changing a nation. You may not be able to change a whole nation, but you can change one person. Won't you be the change agent in the world in which we live in? Amen.